I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
Welcome back to our show. It's always great to have you with us on a Tuesday afternoon. Len Elmore will join us a little bit later. More of your phone calls now, and let's check in with Wesley in Baton Rouge. Hello, Wesley.
Hey, Paul. I just wanted to get your take on Brian Kelly through the first five games and what a win over Tennessee may mean for the his next step at LSU. And I've heard a lot of talk about these Tennessee Vols saying, thank goodness it's a day game in Baton Rouge and all this. Well, it don't matter if it's 11 a.m., 2:30 p.m., 6 p.m. Tiger fans are going to show up. It's going to be loud and rowdy. As my friend said, I'm not stepping foot in Death Valley sober. We want them balls, and we're going to get after them on Saturday, baby. Let's go.
Well, thank you very much. Great to hear from you. Chelsea is up next in North Carolina. Hello, Chelsea.
Hey, Paul, I'm back for another therapy session.
You've chosen well.
Yes, I actually got into a heated conversation with someone yesterday over the Alabama and Tennessee game, and this person's a fellow Alabama fan, but I mentioned the same points you had regarding the quarterback situation, and they wasn't having it. They thought that Milroe could get the job done if Bryce Young was out, but I just don't see how, with Tennessee's momentum of our offense being able to put up points against Tennessee's offense with Hendon Hooker. I mean, they're playing so well, and we're going to their stadium. It's just, there's a lot of things I'm worried about, as well as Bill O'Brien's play calling. His play calling concerns me in the end zone because the passing in the end zone, I don't understand, you know, why you wouldn't want to run the ball.
Well, I'm not sure about that, Chelsea. What's your biggest concern in all this? Is it O'Brien or is it something else?
I mean, there's many aspects to it. Bill O'Brien's play calling is obviously one that I have concerns with. I know in the last game, whenever I was upset he wasn't running the ball in the end zone, they shot to Nick Saban, and you could clearly see him upset yelling, run the ball.
Well, yeah, that's obvious. Number one, surprised Bill O'Brien is still there, but I think Nick Saban was hoping he would find a job somewhere else, and he never did. Thank you very much for the call, though. Let's get an expert's opinion on all of this. Legend is on the phone.
Next on SportsCenter, the voice of the SEC and the man, the myth, the legend! What's up, brother? What's up, Black Hat, brother? You miss me?
We gave you an entire hour last night, and we were severely disappointed.
Well, I'm sorry, brother. I was out of town working. You know, you got to make that living. Got to pay them bills, or they'll come after you. You'd be sleeping under the bridge in a box.
With a couple of other callers.
Hell yeah. What I call you guys in the back, they're great, man. I told them one day, they're like orderlies at the insane asylum. That's who they are. They're some orderlies at the insane asylum. But the guy answered the phone. He said, "Is this Handsome Joe or Legend?" I said, "No, it ain't Handsome Joe, but I'm damn sure handsome." Woo! Let me give you some legendary thoughts, brother. Legendary thoughts number one. Woo! First legendary thought. You talked that trash. You ran that mile. You wrote a check in May, Dumbo. You wrote a check. Now let's see if your ass can cash it on Saturday, Dumbo. Don't come in trying to shake Nick's hand. I know Nick's going to be a gentleman and say everything right to the media. But let me break it down to you, Dumbo Fisher. You ran that mouth. You shot that spit at the greatest, the GOAT, the man, one of the greatest men to ever walk this earth, Moses, Elijah, Burt Jones, and Nick Saban, baby. One of the greatest. You ran that mouth. Now I want to see if you can cash that check. Let's see if you can cash that check. Because you got an ass-whooping coming, Dumbo. You can write it down. You got an ass-whooping coming. And let me tell you how Nick really feels. If he gets you down by 30, he's going to try to beat you by 50. I don't care if you done lost. You got an ass-whooping coming, Dumbo. You got an ass-whooping coming. Legendary thought number two. Someone, please, if you ever, ever put Pee-wee and the Heisman in the same conversation again, I'm going to vomit. That's right. Stetson Bennett. What is that? A male clone at Kmart or something? Stetson Bennett. I mean, the only conversation he needs to be in is a future manager at Burger King. Now you got a problem, ain't you, Georgia? You got a problem. Let me tell you your problem. You're a one-hit wonder. That's your problem. And now it's coming to the surface. All you've done is play these little make-believe teams that not even, you can't even say they're average or even decent. And you look like garbage. Guess who's number one again? The one that's supposed to be number one. We heard it from the media. Oh, they're catching up. They're catching up. Well, I tell you what you're going to catch up to, an ass-whooping, because Alabama's putting it together, baby. That's right. If Bryce Young is Batman, then Robin is Jahmyr Gibbs. Woo! That's right, baby. Woo! That's right. That's right. Legendary thought number two. Stetson Bennett, you are an elf on the shelf. And you're fixing to get exposed. You're a one-hit wonder, Georgia. That's what you are. You came out with Sweet Home Alabama, and your next album's going to hit the dadgum bottle, baby. You are a one-hit wonder. Now, Paul, legendary thought number three. I don't beat up on the elderly. I seen a picture of Squirrel down there. And I'm going to tell you something, Paul. Squirrel's an old-ass man. I don't beat up on an elderly man. He got less hair than you got. Respect, respect, Squirrel. Squirrel, girl, respect. Let me tell you something, Squirrel. You an old-ass man. Early, I get your geritol for you. I ain't going to beat you up, though, but I got a match for you. Skip Golden's wanting to jump somebody. You go on over and whoop on Skip Golden, brother. The legend don't beat up the elderly, brother. I see why you didn't put your picture out. I see why you didn't. You should have kept that picture in, brother. That's what you should have done, baby. That's what you should have done. And the last legendary thought of the day is right here. And let me tell you something. Will Levis, number one pick in the draft, my ass. That dude is not the number one. I don't know what Mel Kiper and that other dude be smoking, but if any GM, of course Chris Byers done, but he might do it. He's so stupid. Him and Frank Wright ass need to be ran out of Indianapolis today. That's right, today. But you ain't the number one pick, and anybody that picks you at number one is a friggin' idiot. Woo! Now, ladies and gentlemen, legendary thoughts are over, and Elvis has left the building.
Oh, my. Mike is up next in Texas. Hello, Mike.
Hey, Paul, good afternoon. I wanted to comment on Jimbo and the Aggies. I'm an Aggie. I'm a loyal Aggie. And I must have bought into Jimbo's stuff here years ago when he came, because I thought he was a great coach. But something that I noticed, I think it was yesterday, I was watching an interview he did, and after the embarrassing loss, the humiliating loss last weekend against Mississippi State, and then you take the App State loss, I'm watching his face, how he's talking, and there's no remorse in his eyes or anything. He's just like, it's just no big deal. And I think the fact that he's got a $95 million contract and a $95 million buyout, he's not worried about it. And it's a shame that you have a coach that it's, I think that is that way. I mean, I want to see a coach that's pissed off, that's angry, that wants to do well. And he's just too lackadaisical. He's just nonchalant about it. And that's not correct. That shouldn't be that way. It really worries me.
I agree with you. I don't think he ever takes responsibility other than just coach speak. And I want to see a coach that on Monday, by the time he shows up in front of the cameras, he's got dark circles under his eyes and he can barely talk.
Exactly.
And Jimbo's like, "Go, okay, well, we'll just let me work on my speech about how we almost got to the playoffs in 2020." And I agree with you. He that's not him. The emotion, think about the emotion on May 19th when he was uttering the word despicable toward Nick Saban. I mean, that was real emotion. That was anger. This was just, okay, I got to say this nonsense because I lost a game.
Yes, yes. And I mean, it's like the passion is gone there. This is a passionate sport, and there needs to be passion there with the coach.
Well, listen, you heard passion from Nick Saban yesterday. And by the way, some of it was manufactured, but he doesn't care. He wants his team to think he's taking this game seriously, because the media is not, the fans aren't, but he is. Hey, thank you very much for the call. Very, very, very insightful call from an Aggie. We'll take a break, switch gears a little bit here, give everybody a chance to recover from the legendary call. Len Elmore, one of the seminal figures in college basketball history, great commentator. We'll get his thoughts on where the sports is going after this.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy.
It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We're always excited to talk to Len Elmore, who is currently the co-chair of the Knight Commission. That doesn't really do his career justice. An All-American at the University of Maryland. Actually crossed paths there with Tom McMillan, who we had on a couple weeks ago. Two dynamic players at the University of Maryland. He went on to, after his pro career, got a law degree from Harvard, served time as a prosecutor in New York, and has been a great commentator, but also an activist for the sport. Len, it's good to see you. Thank you for making time. And I don't know if you how much you heard of what we had on a minute ago with Ralph Russo, but once again, we have not even made the first weekend in October, and the coaching buyouts are starting to pile up. I'm not sure this was exactly what was intended when coaching contracts began. Good afternoon.
Yeah, well, I mean, you're right. The system is warped right now. We talk about big-time football, and I'm not going to just, you know, put the glare on them. It is certainly in men's basketball and in women's basketball. But overall, you know, the pace of football coaching buyouts and the total amounts is pretty inconsistent with, you know, what a non-for-profit educational model should be. Now, to its very definition, nonprofit revenue should fund an institution's objectives and goals for their primary purpose, and for the institutional goals in higher education should be education, health, safety, not trying to continue and create a competitive advantage. You know, I heard one of your guests talk about the fact that there have been five Power Five head coaches fired with buyouts exceeding 60 plus million, and last season there were eight with 90 million. I don't know if you saw the ESPN .com article that talked about from 2010 to 2021, and this includes men's and women's basketball, the dead money amounts to about $533 million. So you add the last 2 years with another $150 million, that's over 12 years, $683 million in dead money being paid to coaches. And, you know, when you take a look at the needs in college sports over that period of time, you know, that's like $57 million a year that could be, you know, put to good use with education, closing the opportunity gaps, and as well as the graduation gaps that are existing right now. You got health, mental health for student athletes, safer playing environments, gender equity, racial equity. There are so many things that money could be spent on. However, you know, the money just seems to be wasted. And you know, the CFP has done some terrific things for college football. I'm a college football fan also. But since 2015, the buyouts for college football have actually tripled. And the money, based on the data, is disproportionately going to coaching salaries and buyouts. You know, this needs to change, no question about it.
Len, it's easy to put blame here. And you have a very small amount of agents who control the system. But I mean, they're just doing their jobs, whether they're manipulating or not. And I frankly think most of them are manipulative, and they use the media, and the media is gullible. But ultimately, the athletic directors are pawns on this chessboard. And I wonder, because you deal with a lot of athletic directors, what do you hear from them when they talk to you about the current situation?
Well, oftentimes I hear that, well, that's the price of doing business. And, you know, I understand that. And let me say up front, I don't begrudge anybody trying to make a good living. But ADs have to recognize that the leverage belongs to them, in my opinion. You know, coaching is still a coveted position, and there are a lot of people who are lined up. How many, and I use the word, how many coaches are retreads getting a third and fourth chance when you got a lot of qualified coaches out there, including minority coaches, who don't get the chance. And you know, when you look at the ability to structure contracts, you know, why not look at performance bonuses and incentives and less and shorter guarantees? You know, there are too many mistakes out there. And you're right, the agent dominance is something. But ADs, we talk about the CFP money that's increased. Athletic directors sometimes look at this money and it appears that they're using it like monopoly money. when it could be applied to glaring needs. One of the things that we propose on the Knight Commission is instituting financial frameworks that could be used by conferences, not the NCAA, because the NCAA by law is prevented from placing caps on coaches' salaries, but individual conferences, as long as they don't agree with each other and collude, can institute financial frameworks that essentially amount to a luxury tax. If you go over a certain amount, then the school has to pay extra money. That's one way to kind of bring some discipline to this system. But in the long run, I just think that we're hurtling head first and about to go off a cliff when it comes to college sports, particularly college football.
And I'm really not purposely bringing you into what has been one of the biggest topics of the week here, and it's the continuing failure of one football coach, Jimbo Fisher, who I'm sure you have heard has nearly $100 million contract. And it would cost the school about $85 million to buy him out.
Yeah, and that's what I'm talking about. I mean, it casts no aspersions on Coach Fisher as a person, but, he just hasn't been the guy. And he hasn't been the guy in a number of institutions. And, it's amazing that the athletic directors who sign people for that kind of money don't recognize the failings. And as I said, to structure contracts that provide performance bonuses and incentives that are going to either reward the coach in the long run, or they don't put that burden on the institution if you ultimately have to part ways with them, is a way to go. And ADs have that leverage; they can move on to somebody else. But sometimes, I guess they're stuck on the big names. And as I said, the Knight Commission with our CARE model, proposing a new financial framework that provide some accountability. Right now, it doesn't seem to be an accountability for directing these revenues towards the athletes' education, health, safety, and success.
But Len, and you talk about these administrators, but I'm at a loss, and I'm just covering it. I'm not where you are, trying to really figure out. Now, and I wonder, and I'm just thinking out loud, because you've been in the media, you've been a commentator, you've been a broadcaster. How much of a role does the media play in all this? Because we just run with this every day, especially at networks like this, and coaching hot seats, and who's in, who's out, and I think athletic directors react to some of that, even though they say they don't.
Well, there's no question about it that the media turns up the heat on the pressure cooker, as well as boosters turning up the heat as well. I don't envy an athletic director's position, but sometimes when you take a big job like that, you've got to be able to take a stand. And in a collective sense, they can take a stand. I mean, we're talking about competitive advantage. The stand should be established by, quite honestly, the presidents. Presidents have the power to make these decisions as to who's hired, who's not, how much is getting paid. They have to sign off on it. And I think presidents have to get more involved, because, again, I go back to the original context, and you have to keep the spending in context. Not-for-profit revenue has to fund the institution's objectives. And institutions of higher learning objectives is not necessarily gaining a competitive advantage per se. It's about educating and developing policy for health, safety, and success. As I said, there are coaches out there who would love to have the chance to be able to coach. It's a coveted position. And ADs, if you can't get the price in a structured contract like I mentioned, move on to the next. You'll find somebody who can get the job done.
I was talking to an AD the other night, Len, who had just come from a big press conference announcing a collective to obviously pay players more. And he admitted, but they had to do a lot of shifting around on campus, for capital improvements, things like that. They just have to be on hold right now because, and I know you're for the players, that's obvious, but you got to pay the players now. There's everything else has to wait. And I don't know what to make out of that, because it's a double-edged sword. You want players to profit, but you also don't want the institution to sit there and not progress as well.
Well, I mean, this is obviously a product of a lack of leadership way back when. I can go back to the O'Bannon case when when, you know, Bannon, even though it was an antitrust case, it was really about name, image, and likeness. And that's something that should never have been abrogated, that we're all entitled to our right to publicity. However, you know, in this situation, we need guardrails. And because they've been so gun shy because of losses in court, I think the NCAA up until this point has kind of punted on establishing guardrails that, you know, could really bring, you know, the name, image, and likeness and the so-called paying players could bring that under control to some extent. You know, but right now, you're right. NIL is being used as a way to pay for play, if nothing else. And you know, the lure of that kind of money, you know, makes it difficult for a lot of institutions who are have-nots as opposed to the haves. And, you know, again, I think going forward with new leadership with the NCAA, they've got to figure out a way to place guardrails without eliminating the right of the individual student athlete to be able to capitalize on the name, image, and likeness. They've got to find a way to be able to bring this under control so it's not pay for play, but nevertheless still fulfilling the right.
Wonderful stuff from Len Elmore. Thank you very, very much, Len Elmore, joining us on the issues facing all of college sports today. We head to the break, and we still have 30 minutes for you to hop on board. We're coming right back.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Hey, welcome back. It's been a while since we've talked to Handsome Joe, but there's never a shortage of interest in what he has to say. What do you got, Joe?
Roll Tide, roll, Paul Feinbaum. And you know what? I would have made it here a little bit sooner. I was trying. I had a doctor appointment. Then I thought my transmission went out, Paul. And I drove in reverse to the mechanic shop and for 2 miles and found out I had it in neutral. So, you know, hey. But anyway, I made it home. So, but anyway, Paul, I heard Legend talk, and Paul, when I was listening to him, I was driving home, and I was listening to Legend on the radio, and man, Paul, I was passing the offering plate to myself, and I took out my wallet, and I throwed every dollar I had in the plate. My God, Legend was bringing it today like he always does, Paul. And you know what? I almost ended up coming to Oxford myself last Friday, but I had other personal things that came up. It's the only reason I didn't, because, you know, Oxford ain't, you know, it's less than 2 hour drive from where I live. And I wanted to come up there and see you again, Paul, but I just, you know, I had things that come up and I just couldn't. But anyway, I've been listening to the show, Paul. You know, I've been dealing with things and all. But anyway, I'm doing
good. How are you doing, by the way? I know you've had a tough time.
I am. I mean, I've been spending most of the time by myself and just, you know, I'm getting out seeing people now and talking to folks. And so things get better with time, Paul. It does. And, but, you know, I've been listening. And Jim, he sounds like the same, Paul. I mean, he just, Paul, I'll be honest, I'd rather gargle a cup of chicken crap than listen to Jim talk. I mean, he just, Paul, just something about it just pierces right to the heart. I can't stand to listen to the man. And I tell you what, he called me an old man one time, Paul. That old redneck, old Jimsy, hey, he's the one that's the old man, Paul, because 58 ain't that old. I mean, and 68 ain't that old. But he's pushing 80, Paul. So, I mean,
I don't know how old he is, and I really don't care. I was talking to a guy today, and he told me he was nearly 80, and I'm like going, there's no way. And you forget, you haven't talked to the guy in 10 years.
Well, last Friday, Paul, my dad turned 88 years old. So I had to go visit him because, you know, it was his birthday. And, you know, I'm just fortunate to still have him in my life because, you know, there's a lot of folks that don't still have that. I still got my mom and my dad. And he turned 80. He's getting slow on things. But, you know, I had to go spend a day with him, Paul. And that's the reason I didn't show up at Oxford. And, you know, it was his birthday. And, you know, you had done the same thing, Paul. I mean, you know, you'd go see a loved one before you come visit me.
Oh, sure. I would.
So that's the... But anyway, next time you're in Oxford or Tuscaloosa, you know, anywhere close to here.
In fact, I thought I was going to be in Tuscaloosa this weekend, but we had the detour because of Jimbo.
Right. Oh, yeah, Jimbo. Yeah, he's a flop, Paul. You know, that game was big till Jimbo just turned into a big flop.
Yeah, by the way, can you imagine all the money that people spent buying tickets to that game? Back in the summer?
Right. And they probably turned them. They probably ain't going to show up. Because if they think they're going to win in Tuscaloosa, you know, Nick Saban, I don't think he's not going to try to run the score up. He didn't try to run it up on Arkansas. It just the player just took it in their hands.
Yeah, you know, I agree with you. A lot of people disagree. And I've never known Saban to be petty. And to me, Saban's a guy that, everyone thinks he'll run it up, and that means he probably won't. Now, it doesn't mean he won't win by 40 points, but he's not concerned about that. What difference? He's got a much bigger game next week than he does this week.
That's right. That's exactly right. And he's not going to keep starters out there and just the whole fourth quarter.
Hey, Joe, I hate to break into your call here, but one of your friends wants to say hello to you, if you don't mind.
Well, this guy's a maniac, Feinbaum. This guy, this ugly old man.
Oh, hold on.
I thought this was going to be a friendly call.
Yeah,
that's a lie you've been promoting. That's a lie they promote all the haters like I must.
No,
make that up.
Jim,
that's all made up.
Jim, you're talking from
you're
the freaking
nursing home,
you old
stupid-ass man.
Two people can't talk at the same time.
You better watch yourself, buddy. You better watch yourself. You old man.
I'm not going to let old man talk down to me. You dadgum redneck. That's all you are is a dumb redneck, Jim. And I tell you what, you go give yourself a dang swerve because if I ever see you, I'm dang sure holding you up by the ankles and your head's going straight in the toilet, you old fart.
By the way, Joe, I apologize because I thought you had complimented him. I wasn't paying much attention. I didn't realize he was going to come in there with a crowbar.
I did. I mean, I complimented him, Paul. He talks like crap, but somebody 80 years old ain't going to talk, you know, like a spring chicken.
Yeah, I thought that was a compliment because I'm older than you are and obviously younger than Jim. Even though he has me in a nursing home,
redneck ain't a bad word either. I called him a redneck. Everybody around here is a redneck.
So it was Joe. It was a hit and run. He tried to come in. He tried to knock you out, and he quit.
That's right. He quit like a little. You know, he come in there and tried to throw a punch out, and then tap him on the nose one good time, and he runs off.
He went home to mama and them.
Yeah, and he's probably giving himself a swirl. He probably took my advice, Paul. His head's probably in the toilet right now.
By the way, one more time, Joe, because you scared me to death on that. For those who don't understand what you're talking about, what is a swirly?
That's when you stick somebody's head in the toilet and flush it. You know, it swirls their hair around or whatever.
If your head is in the toilet when it flushes, what happens?
The toilet water goes round and round. It gives your head a swirly, you know.
Oh, okay.
So that's.
But your head doesn't go down through the. No, I guess it couldn't.
No.
Yeah.
It just the water kind of just washes your hair for you.
Okay, it's a hair wash. Okay, I get it. So well, Joe, thank you very much. That was really entertaining. We'll be right back. Final couple of minutes of this first-class show. We are officially out of time for this program. We appreciate all of you for being a part of it. Some really interesting guests today. We'll see you right here tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.